know me. My name is Annie Muirhead. Anyway, Karen is away, and I have the privilege of sharing God's word with you tonight. And just a little bit about myself. I have been married for 19 years and to the love of my life. And his name is Christian, and he wanted me to put that in there. So anyway, I have 3 adult children and 2 beautiful granddaughters. I've worn many hats in life. I've been both a working mother and a stay-at-home mom. I've been married, a widow, a single mother, and married again. Currently, I get to be a homemaker and a grandmother, and I get to serve the Lord as one of the discussion group leaders at Women's Study, which is really a blessing to me because I love each of you. And you know, God has always been good to me, and he has always been faithful to me. Now that you know me so well, I want to tell you a little story about my neighbor Tony's bamboo. Let me preface this by saying that Tony is the best neighbor that anybody could ever have. He's kind and he's thoughtful. He watches our home when we're away. And the most special thing about Tony is at Christmas, he comes over and he makes the most delicious homemade orange flan that you've ever tasted. And he was really the perfect neighbor until he planted a bamboo plant in his backyard. Unbeknownst to my husband or I, Tony's beautiful bamboo quickly started sprouting up everywhere and became very vigorous. It quickly spread and began invading other plants and even came up in the middle of his concrete. And yes, before you know it, Tony's bamboo soon became our bamboo. It was a selfish plant, and it sent runners under our fence and into our yard. It began destroying our yard and even came up stealthily in the middle of my beautiful white camellia bush. All of this after we had spent years and much expense completely redoing our backyard, rototilling, planting, putting edges in. Anyway, my husband quickly put his little exterminator hat on to go after this pest that was now entering our backyard. He would cut it back to the ground. It would come up. He'd pull up an 8-foot root all the way from the fence, and it would pop up again. He'd even use Roundup to no avail. It would just come up somewhere else. Finally, we had to ask Tony to deal with it on his side of the fence. He gladly agreed when he realized the damage it was doing in our yard as well as his. He cut it down. He dug it up. Then he used concentrated Roundup on it, the full strength stuff. And then he had to repeat this over and over again. Now we think it's gone, but we're still on guard for it today. Okay, so why in the world am I telling you this silly story about bamboo? Ladies, because the way that bamboo grows is very similar to the way that bitterness takes hold of our hearts and minds. Like bamboo, bitterness begins as a little tiny root, and then it spreads up unexpectedly. It takes root and it entangles our hearts and minds, damaging our relationship with the Lord. And before you know it, it's taken root and begins to spread out runners through our speech and through our attitudes when others are around. Even though we try to hide it in our hearts, it's insidious, and before you know it, it's spread, defiling others and damaging more relationships. In order to prevent bitterness, we need to be vigilant and guard our hearts. And I love the verse, Proverbs 4:23. In the NIV, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life." Bitterness is a sin that we must put away from us with full determination, just like using Roundup. So, what is my reason for addressing such a heavy subject tonight? Because Karen asked me to teach and she said, "Well, what's on your heart?" And I thought, bitterness. Anyway, but you know, I believe that this is a sin that as Christians, we're really vulnerable to. And I've come into contact with a lot of people that you feel their bitterness. Besides that, I feel like I have a really intimate knowledge of this sin, having dealt with it several times in my own life. Most recently, I saw what the bitter fruit of bitterness looked like in two of my unsaved loved ones. I believe that unresolved bitterness was a major contributor in both of their deaths. One took his own life, leaving two small children behind, and the other chose a lifestyle that caused such severe mental deterioration. I have seen just how evil the sin of bitterness can be when left undealt with in a human life. This shook me to the core. Subsequently, as a result of having to deal with the aftermath and trauma of these two senseless deaths, unresolved bitterness resurfaced in my own heart and caught me off guard. It began to take root in my heart and mind as a result. Even knowing how dangerous of a sin that bitterness was in the life of a believer, it took me several months before I realized what had happened after David had died. We all need to stay in constant guard over our hearts so that a root of bitterness cannot penetrate them. It doesn't have to be some traumatic event that brings on bitterness like what I've just shared with you right now. We are all so prone to it, we could be reminded over and over again, and it wouldn't be enough times. Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And kind of keep your place there. I absolutely love the book of Ephesians. It reveals so much of God's love and lavish grace for us. In chapters 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul writes of all the spiritual blessings the Lord has blessed us with as believers. He has chosen us. He has adopted us. He has accepted us in the Beloved. He has redeemed us with the precious blood of Christ. He has forgiven us. He has revealed his will to us. And he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. Then Paul transitions from all of the blessings we have in chapters 1 through 3 into how we're to walk in a manner worthy in light of all of the grace and love that's been bestowed upon us and in our position in Christ. Let's read chapter 4, starting in verse 1 for context. I therefore, and the therefore is because of those blessings bestowed, ladies. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, walk worthy of the calling, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, and bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now jump up to verses 30 and 32, where we'll focus tonight, which is just kind of a continuation of the thought that he's putting there. It reads, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." So what is bitterness? Well, the word bitterness comes from the root word pikros and indicates the fruit of a plant so excessively bitter and caustic as to be a kind of a poison. Warren Wiersbe says that bitterness refers to a settled hostility that poisons the whole inner man. Somebody does something we do not like, and we harbor ill will against them. Hebrews 12:15 describes it as a root that rises up and defiles many. So bitterness, it's like a caustic poison that hurts us and hurts others. Why are we prone to it? Well, we're human. We get wounded. We get offended, misunderstood, mistreated, sometimes disappointed. Basically, we all get hurt. We Christians can be really good at not acknowledging our pain before the Lord, and yet He wants to make our pain a thing of beauty. Instead, sometimes it becomes bitterness. Instead of running to Him with our pain, we stuff it and we let it take root. Bitterness, as it says in the verses that we just read, grieves the Holy Spirit, and we lose intimacy with Him. He doesn't leave us, but bitterness does create a distance in what we would otherwise have sweet fellowship with Him. It's really destructive. In light of all of He's done for us, God desires to heal us and set us free from the destructive sin. I feel like I'm losing my voice a little bit. So you're asking yourself, how do we dig up that root, just like the bamboo? Well, these verses, according to Ephesians, it says, we put it away. And that means put it away. It's like a command. It's like, just do it. Anyway, if it could only be that easy. But number one, we're to recognize it. Sometimes bitterness has really stealth symptoms, which can include, but not entirely, can be emotions gone awry, self-focus, rumination, anger, impatience, temper flares, discontent, criticism, fault-finding, discouragement, and even depression, among others. I'm sure we could have a list a mile long. In Proverbs 14:10, it says that a man's heart, or the heart, knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. This is so true. We often know we're bitter, but we're in denial about it because we want to cling to it, feeling like we're somehow justified. We need to recognize that our hearts can be deceitful, wickedly deceitful, and ask God to search them to see if there's any bitter root in them. And we also need to recognize that our bitterness is a sin and call it that. Take responsibility. It's our responsibility. Once you recognize that bitterness is in your heart, you need to confess and repent of it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Bitterness is like something that clings to us. And you know, ladies, He doesn't just forgive us, He cleanses us. That's a really big deal. Once we confess, we then need to repent, making a 180-degree turn from bitterness. We need to put away bitterness and put on the Lord Jesus. Next, it's important to confront any doubts we have that we may have concerning God's power and will to help us with this sin. You might say to yourself, I can't forgive this sin. It's just too big. But we need to confront that thinking with the truth. Nothing is too big that we can't forgive it in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord gives us the indwelling Holy Spirit through whom we can forgive others. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And as Pastor Damien often says, He never tells us to do anything that He doesn't give us the power to be able to do. Even in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, it speaks of a power that raised Jesus from the dead as being available to us. Do you understand that that's resurrection power, ladies? That's powerful. In addition, we need to believe that God desires to deliver, not just deliver us from the sin, but restore us. In Isaiah 38:17, Isaiah records Hezekiah's words when the king says, indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness, but you, speaking of the Lord, have delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. It is God's desire to deliver and to restore you. What God did for Hezekiah was in a different context, but reveals God's heart to deliver his people from bitterness. What a wonderful God we have. Proper perspective is also essential and achieved by looking at to the cross of Christ. I don't believe that we can be free from this unless we really look to Jesus. If we will look at the truth of all he did on the cross of Calvary, we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. I have recently had my own revelation about the emotional and physical, anguish that Jesus experienced for me. Not only did he experience physical pain on that cross, but he had emotional anguish. He understands our heart's cry, our pain. He wants us to bring it all to him. I realized, who am I to hold on to anything in light of all that he has suffered for me? He wept tears of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane and asked the Father three times to let the cup pass from him, revealing his emotional agony. In the book of Isaiah, it talks of him carrying our grief and our sorrows. Not just the physical agony of the cross, but the emotional. He gets our pain. He understands feeling forsaken. And while on the cross, he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? As the Father turned his face away the moment he bore all of our sin. And he also cried for his enemies to be forgiven because they didn't know what they were doing. He chose on that cross to make himself helpless. Some of you may have felt helpless in your life, and he endured the abuse that those people gave him. He did all of this for you and I. Tender-hearted women need to know that Jesus understands. This is important. Jesus is tender with our wounds because he understands our wounds. He didn't just take my wounds. He took every one of your wounds too. We also need to have proper perspective of the depth of his love as demonstrated by his forgiveness of us. He took the cost for all of our sin and bore all of the pain. He never brings our sins up again, and he removes them as far as the east is from the west, however far that is. He not only forgives, but he washes us clean. He brings us reconciliation with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't have any relationship with the Lord if it weren't for what Jesus had done. And then if that were not enough, he keeps on forgiving our sins over and over and over again. Let's read Ephesians 4:32 again. It says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. With the strength of the Holy Spirit and the perspective of the cross in our hearts and minds, we're to grant forgiveness as an act of our will while entrusting our feelings to the care of the Lord. Forgiveness is a costly choice, but it sets you and others free. It is a decision to treat the offender in a way that doesn't hold their offense against them again. It's agreeing to live with the cost of another person's sin. Either we can choose to live with a cost while walking in forgiveness, or we choose to endure the cost bound up in bitterness. In some small way, it's picking up our own cross and following him. We have been afforded forgiveness at a huge cost to Jesus and the Father, and he fully expects us and equips us to forgive others. We are commanded to forgive not only because we have received forgiveness, but also because God knows it's a safeguard against bitterness in ourselves and others. Finally, we're to walk out our forgiveness by being kind and tender-hearted, as Jesus says. As Jesus is, we're to love as Jesus loves. We're not to bring up an offense again or to keep any record of wrongs. I've struggled with the record of wrongs. I don't know about you guys, but Jesus doesn't keep our record of wrongs. We're to choose to think the best. Philippians 4:8 says to think on whatever things are true and just and pure and lovely and so on. Can we think about those that hurt us with those kind of thoughts? We're not to repeat the offense to others. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Grace. Grace to others. Basically, we're to walk out our forgiveness based on the way that Jesus demonstrated his forgiveness towards us. Finally, we need to run to Jesus with our hurts and disappointments and surrender them to him, trusting that he loves us with a perfect love and will set us free from the grip of bitterness and restore our souls. I held on to bitterness for over 30 years. Yet when the Lord finally shone his light on my heart, I got on my knees and confessed it as sin to him. In doing so, I poured out my heart and my pain, and I acknowledged my own inability to either forgive nor heal my own heart. The wounds were so big, I asked him for his help, and he gave me very, very specific wisdom as to how to deal with the offenses that were committed. In my case, it was to write a letter which opened up communication and brought complete healing for me. I didn't even know it was there. And now I've never felt so free. When asked, I believe that God will bring specific wisdom to each of us for every situation that we face. Writing a letter may not be what he has for you. God brought healing and forgiveness to me in the way he knew that I needed it. And he knows the same for you. There are so many ways that bitterness can creep into our lives. So exactly who is this Jesus who wants to set us free from bitterness and heal our hurts? Well, I'm going to read a passage to you. Just let it sink in. And then I want you to spend a few minutes with the Lord and be quiet before our loving God. He's not beating us over the head with this. He's saying, "I love you." And then I'm going to pray for us and release us into our groups. Isaiah 61:1-3. If you want, you can turn there, or you could even close your eyes if you like. This is our sweet Jesus, ladies. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Ladies, he doesn't want us to have a root of bitterness, but wants us to be called oaks of righteousness for the display of his splendor. Let's just spend a couple minutes with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our Savior, Jesus. Thank you for all that he's done for us on the cross, the love that he's demonstrated, that we're adopted, that we're chosen, that we're accepted in the Beloved, that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Thank you, Lord, that we're your beloved daughters and that you're a gentle God with our tender hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you desire for us to be free of bitterness, not because you're angry, but because you want us to walk in freedom and in love. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for these women. I pray that as they go into their groups, Lord, that you would just move by your Holy Spirit and you would bless their time together. In Jesus' name, amen. I just really want you to know that if anybody needs prayer after group, I know that every one of the ladies, each one of the group leaders would just love to stay and pray with you. Please don't leave here tonight if you need prayer for anything, okay? God bless you.